And now, my story. Real people, real stories.
Ladies and gentlemen, my story, as I've told you, can go anywhere at all. We can go down any route with this because it's fascinating. Now, here is a man who has a story and a half to tell. Let's say hello to Paul Henderson. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Pete.
You've written a book called Alcoholic to Alchemist.
That's correct.
It's a hell of a story. Take as long as you want, but tell us your story.
Thanks very much, Pete. Well, it goes back in my teenage years. I was an entertainer, much like yourself. And I was introduced to alcohol around about the age of 15. And at first it was bravado. I felt old, I felt grown up when I drank, and it didn't really cause too many problems. But music was the love of my life, and basically, within a couple of years, from spending my nights practicing and rehearsing with the band I was in at the time, I quickly found myself not turning up for rehearsals, in the pub, knocking back pints of lager with vodka chasers, and quickly getting into trouble with alcohol. That was to escalate very quickly, Pete. Very, very quickly, to the point where I was desperately addicted to alcohol. I found myself getting locked up. I had many drink driving charges. And I went from having a loving family, very, very close-knit loving family, to basically spending my nights on rat-infested railway embankments, homeless, penniless, and life was really just bereft of meaning. And it got so bad, at the age of 25, the doctor's prognosis was that I had 6 months to live if I was lucky. At this point, I was drinking a couple of bottles of vodka a day, and when the money ran out, I'd revert to methylated spirits, surgical spirits, aftershave, and even I got so desperate as I'd be spraying deodorant cans down my mouth for just to get the effect I wanted, the effect of escaping life, basically. It got so bad, Pete, that in the end, I used to take lethal cocktails of painkillers and alcohol, purely and simply, not that I wanted to kill myself, but I was terrified of what was happening to me. It felt as though I was possessed in some way, possessed by something that was devastating me and devastating everybody and everything I come in contact with. And I would take painkillers along with alcohol, and I'd be rushed into hospital. I'd have my stomach pumped, and on two occasions, I lay on my deathbed, literally. Even after having my stomach pumped, there was a toxic amount of alcohol and painkillers in my bloodstream, and my life was literally saved by the swift response and expertise of the hospital staff. But really, at that point, Pete, my want to live had really diminished. Death really seemed imminent. I thought I was destined for what I termed in the book for the liquid last supper. It was devastating. So that's basically my story of drinking.
That's a hell of a story. I've got to ask you, first of all, can you imagine at the worst point you were at what your insides must have been like?
I've had some experiences where I've more or less seen that, and just thinking about it now is turning my stomach, to be quite honest with you, Pete. You know, the times I had literally my stomach pumped.
Yeah.
I'd have to go and see a psychologist, and I'd be shaking from head to toe, convulsing from head to toe. And the psychologist would give me messages like, my loving parents, my parents who I knew loved me, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, couldn't stand to see what I was doing to myself and didn't want me to go home while I was drinking. And that's basically how I ended up homeless and penniless. And I honestly thought that was the end. I didn't think there was another choice.
Paul, what was the lowest point ever? Is there one point? Because, I mean, you've just given us the most amazing story, which is, it made me balk It was like the idea of what's been, what you've done is unbelievable. What was the lowest point? Was there
the
one
lowest
point?
I think, Pete, was being on that railway embankment in the pouring down rain when I was homeless, and you know my tears were sort of melding into the driving rain, and there was rats scurrying past me, and I was getting images of my beloved family, you know, fleeting through my mind, and the guilt, you know, I knew they were literally a few hundred yards down the road in the house, probably wondering where the hell I was, what I was doing. And when I spoke to my parents, you know, after recovery or whatever, they said it got that bad that we were actually planning your funeral. You know, that's how bad it affected them. And I think the lowest of the low, I thought it was bad at that time, suffering from alcoholism, but the one thing I thought was perhaps a lot worse than that was being the loved one of a person who had to watch that and being quite powerless to change it.
Paul, what was the turning point? Was there one moment?
There was many moments, but one of the turning points, Pete, was when I was on that railway embankment one night in them weather conditions. It was a voice that went through my mind, and this was a voice, it was a very nurturing voice, and it was fleeting, and it was just a thought pattern, if you like, that said, you weren't born to live that way. And really, I think this is where the inspiration from the book came, because I remember that very, very clearly. That was the guiding light in the dark denizens of those days. And that voice I come to call the archetypal alchemist. And if I can just elaborate on that, Pete, I mean, alchemy in medieval times was the art of transforming base metals into gold. But the contemporary meaning it has a psychological slant, and it basically means to transform our emotional and mental debris into our psychological wealth, being wisdom, creativity, and inspiration. And it was that voice from the depths of my being, if you like, that seemed to emerge when I hit that real bottom, when I thought things couldn't possibly get worse, that light come through.
Paul, you must get incredibly angry and frustrated when you see young people on television, out on the streets, starting 14, 13, 15, drinking.
Yeah.
Knowing what could happen to them.
Exactly, Pete. And this is why I'm so grateful for this opportunity to talk on your show, because really, again, this was the inspiration that I needed to write this book, because the book has, I don't say it because I wrote it myself, but it's the book has a wealth of psychological knowledge. It also gives life coaching. It gives a lot of good information from people who have been through the depths of despair with alcoholism. And, you know, it says one of the things is that peer pressure, you know, peer pressure to drink, and children are sort of under the illusion that it's macho to drink, and, you know, all of these things. And, you know, drinking to the extent I drank, problematic drinking, Pete, I must state I'm not against social drinking whatsoever, but problematic drinking, you know, it doesn't make you macho, you know, it brings on impotence, it brings on premature aging, you know, it makes you mess yourself, embarrass yourself in many, many ways, and that's the message I'd like to get out to the children, you know, the youths who are drinking to that extent.
What is it like today, your body?
My body?
Inside.
Well, funny enough, I'm probably in the best health, not right at this present moment, I'm just getting over a cold, but I'm probably in the best health I've ever been in my life. One good thing is that the liver in particular, my liver was enlarged, Pete. It was, you know, I could feel my liver pushing through my ribcage, and it was painful. And that was when the doctor's prognosis was, you've got 6 months to live. And that was lying to him how much I was actually drinking, because I halved what I was drinking. But the problems I did have, you know, with my liver and whatever, I literally thought that would be the end.
Have you managed to mend any bridges you've burnt on the way down that slippery slope?
Many, I mean, that's, again, what the book's about, Pete. The book, it's I've used the 12-step philosophy again because it's been successful and it's traditional, but there's a real different slant on this one. You know, in the years... over the years, I've trained in many different pursuits of psychology, spiritual practices, and psychological workshops, self-development workshops. And I believe, Pete, that rather than, like, certain traditions, you know, say about doing an inventory, let's say, which can be very much like a confession, I think that can instill a lot of guilt. I think the best way we can make amends and build the bridges, as you so put it before, is really through the work we do now, Pete. And there's something I talk about in the book, because there's a lot of ancient philosophy, which is very practical. It's not pious idealism. You know, it's very practical. And I talk about karma yoga in the book, which basically karma means action. And yoga is union with God, but we use God in the term of an energy that expresses itself through every individual. So karma yoga in that sense really is selfless action for the good of everybody we come in contact with. And that to me today, Pete, is what I believe my life purpose is. And that's how I make amends. That's how I build the bridges. And in answer to your question, I have mended, you know, I've built a lot of bridges with people, and my life today is fantastic, Pete. It really is. If I could just possibly, I believe one of the things I speak about in the book a lot is purpose. Most successful people I've seen come away from alcohol and not just live a mundane life, but excel in life. I've always had a real prominent purpose, Pete. And there's something I'd like to read, if I've got the time.
Please do.
It was a sage who lived a few hundred years before Christ called Patanjali. And he wrote this about living on purpose. And this sums up my life today, Pete. He said, when you are inspired by some great purpose, some extraordinary project, all your thoughts break the bonds. Your mind transcends limitations. Your consciousness expands in every direction, and you find yourself in a new, great, and wonderful world. Dormant forces, faculties, and talents become alive, and you discover yourself to be a greater person by far than you ever dreamed yourself to be. And that sums up my life today, Pete. I write quite intensely about that passage in the book. But purpose, I think, is so important.
Did you find it easy or hard to get the book published?
To get the book published? I actually self-published through Lulu, Pete. This one I didn't take to the publishers. It seems to be a new way of doing things now. I had such a big demand for this book that I didn't want to waste time contacting publishers. So I did go down the self-publishing route and published with Lulu.
So how do people buy it?
Oh, you can buy it from... One of the things, Pete, is that I'm having a big book launch within the next few weeks at Waterstones. It's in the shops.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, it will be in the shops very shortly.
Yeah.
It's changed quite a lot, the publishing routes now. So I am holding my book launch in Waterstones in Liverpool 1. The date is going to be set when the first consignments of books arrive, which should be imminent. Although it's aimed at alcoholism, because that's where my downfall comes, that's where my experience is. It's a book that enables people in general to find their highest expression, to find their true potential, because really the one common denominator I found with all alcoholics who hit rock bottom was that they found life either unacceptable or mostly unbearable. And alcohol was an escape vehicle, a vehicle used to escape a life they deemed unbearable. So therefore, drink really is a symptom. We need to find the catalysts. And what this book does, it gives people the psychological knowledge to go and explore the psyche. We look at psychodynamics, which is the strand of psychology which says that childhood experience influences our psychological development. We look at cognitive behavioral therapy, which is basically how our negative thought patterns affect us. We look at neuro-linguistic programming, and we give people all of this knowledge. In fact, it's sort of become your own therapist type book. And then it moves on to the transpersonal, and we look at maybe the true nature of reality, the coming together of modern day physics and ancient philosophy. And it's all geared to help people in general, Pete, find their highest expression.
Paul, yes. The book is called Alcohol to Alchemist.
That's correct, Pete.
You're Paul Henderson. To finish off, your message to anybody out there, and as you know, late night radio, an awful lot of people with drink problems at this time of the night.
Yes,
an awful lot of people out there who have to live with somebody with drink problems. What would your advice be to finish off?
My advice right at this moment, Pete, I've been asked this question so many times and I wanted to do something. What I've done now, my advice would be if people are out there, I have now made an online mentoring system free on my website, and it goes into real depth, and people feel lonely and isolated. If they can get there, you know, this mentoring system, there's no charge for it, and it's there just for those people.
How do they find it?
If they find it at www.al2al, that's spelled A-L, the number two, A-L.com. So it's www.al2al.com.
And those people that can't get to it, what would you say to them?
What would I say to them? I would remind them, Pete, I think, of my own story, because I know, trying to think back to them days, it's a sense of real powerlessness and a sense of hopelessness. And I would remind them that, you know, I drank 2 bottles of vodka plus anything I could get my hands on, including methylated spirits, surgical spirits and whatever. And I was able to recover. And if I'm able to do it, anyone can do it. And I would say, you know, I would say go to the website, try and get hold of the book. The book, it's been written for people just like that. But contact me personally through the website. I want to make as many appearances as I can to give my, you know, the benefit of my experience to people deserved of it. And I know this is a good city, Pete. There's a lot of good people out there. I think for every, you know, they reckon for every bad deed that's done, there's a million good ones. And I know there's a lot of good people out there.
Paul Henderson, thank you for joining me.
Thanks very much, Pete. Thank you.